More Lana and Lashley awkwardness, Tyson Fury invades Monday Night Raw, and WWE barely mentions the Hell in a Cell main event. Your full Raw review starts right after this. All right, so we're going to get right back to the WWE podcast in a second, but I just want to talk quickly about a product I recently came across, and it's called Mirrex, M-I-R-R-E-X. So for you guys out there, you may want to direct your female counterpart to this website. It's pretty cool. It's a makeup mirror, but it's much more than that. The company is based in Colorado, and just so you guys know, Mirrex stands for the Innovative Mirror. They're here to improve the lifestyle of individuals, and they want to take a step into the future, and that they have. They have taken the makeup mirror and turned it into a smart makeup mirror. So what's this going to do? It's going to change the way the mirrors are used. There are three levels of LED light for those last-minute face checks, and you can even charge your phone wirelessly. It also has an attachment to take that really cool, well-lighted selfie. So you guys really got to check this out. This is really, I've never seen anything like this. It's Mirrex.store, Mirrex.store. That's Mirrex.store. This is definitely one of the coolest things that I've seen, and it would make a great gift. So check out Mirrex.store today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the Monday Night Raw Review Show for the WWE Podcast on October 8th, 2019, for the show that aired last night. A very interesting show, kind of a weird show. The show that's between the draft and the normal progression of things. And anytime you have a show that's before the draft, it's just kind of a maintenance show, right? It's just WWE in a holding pattern before they get to the real fresh start of the draft that starts this Friday on SmackDown on Fox. Gotta make sure we mention Fox, because WWE does every time that they mention SmackDown. So Monday Night Raw was, as I said, an interesting show. I'm going to just give some quick thoughts here and then dive in a little deeper. It was a show that started off kind of awkward with a beat down and really no... I mean, I enjoy the pyro of the show. I don't know why I'm just... I have a nostalgic kick for the pyro of Monday Night Raw. And it opened up with a video package that looked at the love triangle between Rusev, Lana, and Bobby Lashley. And immediately after that played, we have a beatdown of Orton and Baron Corbin on Rusev. And Rusev clears the ring, and Bobby Lashley then appears on the screen, and Lashley says that he's at Rusev's house, next to Rusev's bed. And then Lashley gets in Rusev's bed, and we all know where this is heading. Eventually, we will find out that Lana is there, and she, lo and behold, she is. This is getting weird. I mean, there's no other way to put this. This is a weird storyline. I have no idea what the payoff's going to be. I don't even know if I care. I would assume that it's going to be Rusev versus Bobby Lashley. And for Bobby Lashley's career, this is great. I mean, this is the most personality that Bobby Lashley has showed since he returned to WWE nearly 2 years ago. And that's sad. That's just sad. But I don't understand the reasoning behind this. And maybe we'll learn it as we go along. Or maybe WWE doesn't even know. And they are making it up as they go along. It sure seems like it. I don't know. I don't know, first of all, why Rusev would be mad at Lashley, given that Lana is the one that betrayed him, not Bobby Lashley. Rusev was not in a relationship with Bobby Lashley, nor did Bobby Lashley force himself onto Lana, and Lana didn't have a choice. Lana is doing this of her own accord, again, storyline, yet Bobby Lashley is the one that Rusev is targeting. I never understood this either. I guess art imitates life. Now, I didn't expect to take this turn early in the show here, but if you have a significant other that cheats on you, why are you mad at the person you weren't in a relationship with. Because in all likelihood, the person you're in a relationship with had a choice to betray you, right? So why are you mad at the person who they're involved with? I mean, it speaks to their moral compass, but ultimately, you're not in a relationship with the other person. You're in a relationship with the person that betrayed you. So I never understood that logic. You know, like the guy in high school who gets in a fight with a girl that he finds out was cheating on him with. And it's like, why? Why? I never understood that human psyche part of the brain where people get mad at the other person that they're cheating on them with their significant other. If that makes sense. I don't know. But anyway, it'll end up in a match with Rusev and Bobby Lashley. I guess that's the big payoff. As I said, the 80s porn star, Rusev, is now going to be on a collision course with Bobby Lashley. And hey, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what to make of this. I really don't. I don't know what to make of this other than, like, this is weird. It feels a little bit Attitude Era and not in a good way. Like, the stuff that happened in the Attitude Era that was kind of just sexualizing women and that kind of thing. I mean, even at 14, 15 years old, while I was, like, you know, all giddy about that, let's be totally honest here. There are other places to go. One or two. You know, one or two on the internet or elsewhere that you can go to look at pretty girls. I'll leave it at that. So that's not my motive when I watch wrestling. And so when they bring that element back in, it's like bringing in the worst part of what WWE did during the Attitude Era. And so anyway, I mean, this is just a very strange storyline. I don't know the motives behind it. And to be totally frank with you, it's going to be, and I don't know, and I haven't found anything on even the dirt sheets, right? Because they're 100% accurate. I found nowhere that suggests that Rusev and Lana are actually split in real life, which tells me that they have either A, really good skills at keeping secrets, or B, they have a really strong marriage in which they're okay with other people, they're a partner making out with somebody else for extensive amounts of time, getting in bed with them topless, and then that's it. It's one of the two. It's one of the two. I don't know which. I'm sure that the real story will come out. If not, this is a very, very uncomfortable angle. It's just weird. It's just weird. So I have nothing else to say about it. I think I've summarized that story in one word. Again, I'm not down on it. I don't go, oh, this storyline is so stupid. I'm trending that way, but I'm not there yet because I'm willing to give it time to really flesh itself out and tell me where you're going. And right now, I don't know where you're going, but I'm still mildly interested in Lana's motive. Like, what exactly happened to drive her to do this? So I guess that's the only really hook for me is what happened. That's it. Other than that, I don't care who sleeps with who or whatever. You know, I don't know. Maybe an episode of GTV will come out next week. Those of you that watch The Attitude Era know exactly what I'm talking about with GTV. Never explained, by the way. Never explained. So anyway, guys, this is the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me, setting the table here. This show is done 4 times a week, sometimes 5 times a week, depending on the pay-per-view schedule and whatnot. And this week, NXT is returning, the NXT Podcast, as well as the AEW Podcast. Really excited to have both shows back. And it's a big week in wrestling as we go into week number 2 of the Wednesday Night Wars. So tomorrow night is going to be a round 2 of the ratings, and it's going to be very interesting. If you guys are into ratings, very interesting to see whether or not AEW is able to maintain a lot of its first eyeballs that it had on the product, and those that were curious and all the social media build and everything else around it. Can AEW edge out NXT? And they can say that they're focused on their product and it's not really a war. BS. I'm calling BS on that. That's what you have to say in the public's eye. That's what you have to say when reporters are asking you, journalists are asking you, any kind of public outlet asks you, you have to say that. It's just a standard question. But internally, behind closed doors, you can bet your ass that both companies are looking at the other. And that's just the way it is. It's competition. WWE, NXT, while it's the third brand of WWE, NXT should aim to consistently beat NXT. And yes, focus on your product. That's how you are. That's how you are successful, is by focusing on what you're doing and maybe watching the other product to see what they may not be doing that fans want. And a little bit of news, by the way. I read this today and it made me really excited that apparently Cody Rhodes talked to a recent media outlet and mentioned that this is all somewhat speculation, but at the same time, kind of quasi-confirmed. AEW is going to be releasing a video game. And apparently, allegedly, it's going to be reminiscent of the old No Mercy days from N64. It may not have the same graphics, maybe the same engine. I don't know, but it may reflect some of the things we loved about it. A timeless, classic video game. And I don't really talk about WWE video games a whole lot on this show, but N64, No Mercy, I could play that still all day. I mean, it is just the most replayable, best wrestling game. Yes, there's nostalgia tied to it, but even without that, it's so playable. It's just a perfect wrestling game. The mechanics are great. The finishers are great. It's simple. Everything you'd want. And yes, the graphics are 40,000 times better today, and there's a million more game modes and all that. But just the smooth playability, the simplicity of it, I think is what made it. And it had a great, contact system where, you know, if you hit somebody with a chair, it actually looked like you were hitting them with a chair. It felt solid. It felt good. In today's video games, I know this is going way off topic, guys, but it's still wrestling related. And when you hit somebody with a chair in today's WWE video games, with for all the power they have in the PlayStation 4 and all that, you know, from 1999 or whenever this game was reviewed to 20 years later, the chair shots still look weak. The contact, I know I'm not using the right terminology, but the weapons are still not great. I don't know what or why, but whatever. Anyway, so just a little bit of a throwback there. And tying it back to AEW, apparently it's going to have some of the things that we loved about No Mercy in this game. Don't know much more about it other than that. I'm sure you can Google about it and find out more than what I just told you. But so looking forward to that. And, of course, WWE 2K20. I'm a video game nerd when it comes to wrestling. I mean, I've bought every single WWE 2K, WWE. I mean, I'm all the way back to the original SmackDown. SmackDown Know Your Role. Just Bring It. Shut Your Mouth. Here Comes the Pain. All the way to when it went from Here Comes the Pain to SmackDown versus Raw. 06, 07, 08. You name it. All the way to WWE 12, 13, 14. I mean, it's just sad. It's just sad, but I love all that kind of stuff. But enough about video games. You guys aren't hearing about it, talk about video games. Just FYI, guys, if you want to listen to an ad-free experience, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and you can get the entire library of this show ad-free. I know many of you have asked, hey, is there a way I can stop all those ads? Yes, very easy. Very easy to do, and go head over to Patreon and check it out there. But So that was my initial thought on Monday Night Raw, was that opening segment with Lana and Rusev and Bobby Lashley. It was just weird, and I have nothing more to say about that. I mean, let's just move on. Natalya and Lacey Evans had a last man standing match, or last woman standing match. It was a solid match. Of course, Lacey Evans has her moments of blunders, namely her moonsault off of the barricade that ended in if you ever slow-moed that, it would be just straight embarrassing. There was barely any contact with Natalya. She was slow to get there. I mean, it wasn't great. But Lacey Evans has got a great look. I like her promo style. Unlike many people who think she talks too slow, I think it's annoying as a heel to do that. It makes you stand out. People are talking about it. I like it. I'm a fan of Lacey Evans. Am I super high on her and I think they should shoot her to the top? No. But I think she's got a lot to build on. She's got a very good foundation for the future of her progress. And I think that she could be a big player, main event player, in a year or 2 years. consistent main event player. So, but this match I enjoyed as a whole. It was, it is what it needed to be. Natalya is the gatekeeper of sorts for the women's division. And I think that her and Lacey Evans square up well. And again, this was a show that WWE and Hell in a Cell, to set up this match for Raw, simply had Natalya punch Lacey Evans in the face after the match and deliver her own version of the woman's right to Lacey Evans. And that was the setup for Raw, because WWE, again, holding pattern. I would have not liked to have been at this Raw. There was nothing really of any substance that happened in terms of storyline progression outside of Tyson Fury, and we will get there. I've got some split thoughts on that one, so get ready for that one, I think. And for those of you that enjoy my rants, and I know many of you are looking for me to have an explicit episode, I will tell you, I will do one. It just has to be the right time. I don't want to manufacture a rant. I don't want to just do one to do one that's not genuine. I need to have them come to me. And I will tell you, the Hell in a Cell last night, or two nights ago, was the closest I've come to have an explicit episode in the existence of this show. So, I've calmed down, to the dismay of many who wanted to hear me just rattle off a whole bunch of expletives. But I will tell you that if and when it does come again, and it will, it has to happen naturally for me. And I don't want to just rant to rant, so I just want to bring that out there. But anyway, back to this last woman standing match. I enjoyed it. It ended with Natalya powerbombing Lacey off the stage through a table. And Lacey was down for a 10 count, and Natalya wins. Pretty standard. As far as storyline, again, I don't have a whole lot of emotional investment in this, but how could you? It was just a solid match to fill time. That's what this match... This show was a fill time to get us to the draft. And I understand that. I can't fault WWE for that, because you don't want to get yourself in a situation where you box yourself in, start a new story, progress the story, you know, further beyond the Hell in a Cell results, and then all of a sudden you have to deal with the draft next week, and then have to draft the people that have just had that new progression in their story and this on the same brand. But if you don't, then the storyline's moot. It's just a mess. So I cannot fault WWE for having kind of a maintenance, hold steady, steer the course type of Raw. I mean, that's just the nature of this show and the timing of this show. So I would just like to say that off the bat, too. But again, solid win by Natalya. She's the gatekeeper. She posed on the table to celebrate her win. And then we had a backstage segment with Tyson Fury with his, you know, 7,000 kids that he has, apparently. And the Street Profits, who also kind of irk me. And I'm really, you know, when you talk about rant level, if I have to get to attend a rant, they put me at a 7 or 8. I mean, they really do. I don't understand the purpose of the Street Profits. I don't get it. Somebody, I feel like Aleister Black here. That's something I'll get to too. I'm really enjoying him. As I was going to say, somebody, anybody, tell me, what is the purpose of the Street Profits? What are they here for? When you think about this from a logical perspective, a casual fan tuning in, or just a sports fan, and you're looking at these people going, so they're self-aware the cameras are looking at them, and they are just talking in just, I don't know, talking in wacky language and trying to be entertaining, talking about other people's storylines, or ranting about the pay-per-view that just happened. Are they ever going to get in a program of their own instead of just kind of being the backstage cheerleaders and entertainment for the boys backstage? I mean, that's what they seem like. What are they there for? I don't find them entertaining at all, by the way. I think it is awful. They are awful. They, if especially if you're trying to position them as baby faces, which is why I think I don't like them as much as I probably should or some people do. They, if positioned as babyfaces, and they are trying to position them as such in this current role. It's, again, I'd have no other, I cannot think of a stronger word other than horrendous. Unwatchable. They are terrible in terms of watchability. They make me cringe. They're not funny. They're not entertaining. They're flat out annoying, especially if you're trying to position them as baby faces. They don't do anything for me, nor do they do anything for the product. The Street Profits do nothing. Nothing. Tell me any redeeming quality that they have. Oh, they wear a lot of bling. They speak in cool language and say things differently. Wonderful. So they're getting employed by a company to stand there, and when the red light turns on, it's their time to go, and they talk about silly, nonsensical garbage. So that's the purpose of the Street Profits. For God's sakes, either put them in a true program, or get them the hell off my TV. Please. All right. So I'm going to take a quick break, but I'm going to come back with some Tyson Fury thoughts, of course, and Viking Raiders and Bobby Roode. Oh, wait, no. Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, among a bunch of other stuff, including the really non-mentioning of the Hell in a Cell main event from Sunday night, which was pretty damn good move by WWE, if you ask me. So stay right here. All right. Well, guys, at the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. There really isn't anything better, right? Sunday comes along where you got to go to work Monday, but football's always there for you, right? They're that like best friend that comes with you on Sunday. They're always there. There's just nothing like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So how do you do that? You go to mybookie.ag. Easy, right? Mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. All you have to do is head to mybookie.ag. Just do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, just bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, just try a parlay. If all of your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year to bet, hands down. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Just use promo code WWE to activate the offer. That's promo code WWE to activate that offer of doubling your deposit. Go visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Alrighty, so let's get back to the Monday Night Raw review. And before I get to Tyson Fury, which, again, very mixed feelings, the Viking Raiders versus Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. This was a non-title match, and I think this was probably the best showing that the Viking Raiders have had since they were introduced to the main roster. And again, this probably and should be credited a lot to Robert Roode and Ziggler's in-ring abilities. Veterans have the ability, the uncanny ability to make their opponents look better than they are. That is a great quality. Both Bobby Roode, I'm just going to call him Bobby Roode because it's easier. It doesn't sound right with Robert. It's too formal. The Robert Roode and Dolph both have and have at a higher level than most. And so you can imagine that a lot of guys probably want to wrestle these guys because they always embellish what they can do. And the Viking Raiders, again, we got a little bit of a promo from them, which was nice. And we don't know a whole lot about them. I need to know more. Give me a backstory, please. How do you expect anybody to connect with a character when you have no story for them, when you have no foundation for them to understand who and what they are? What's their mission statement? Why are they here? What do they believe in? What are their morals like? That kind of stuff. I need to know. If I don't know, I don't give a damn. And that's just the way the human brain works. So the Viking Raiders win here. Eric dropped Roode with a right hand, and then Ivar got the double team on Ziggler for the three count. So Ziggler takes the Viking experience, and the Viking Raiders win. And, you know, you kind of knew off the bat the reasoning for the Viking Raiders winning, and that's to put them in a conversation for the number one contendership for the tag team championships. Makes sense. The tag team division on the WWE Raw roster and SmackDown roster, for that matter, isn't exactly super deep. So I get that they need new faces in the tag team title picture. So fine. I'm fine with it. It was a non-title match, and it made sense that they get qualified to do so. It wasn't a number one contenders match, but I guess by default, by beating the champions in a non-title match, it puts you in contention. I don't like that as a always across the board rule, but the logic is sound, and I'm fine with it. And you know, do I think that the Viking Raiders are going to win the tag team belts? Not a chance in hell. Nor should they. Rude and Ziggler should be long-standing tag team champions. They just should, and I think they will. All right. Then we get Aleister Black, and he says he's going out to the ring, and he wants to see who is going to pick a fight with him. And the Singh brothers are in the ring, so apparently they have left Jinder Mahal's side. And they're quickly interrupted by Black, and we get a handicap match that ended up happening. And Aleister Black soundly defeated both of them and put Sunil in a dragon sleeper for the win. A squash handicap match for the single. How about that? I had kind of forgotten about Aleister Black. They stopped doing his backstage promos for a few weeks. And now that he's back, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm down for this. Let's do this. Great presence. You listen when he speaks. And not just because he talks differently and enunciates different syllables and you know, whatever. If he enjoys the letter T, right? Anytime there's a T in a word, he just enunciates that sound that T makes. So, I mean, I get it. He's different. But he just has a presence that you can't put your finger on. Beyond his look, he just has that, we all call it, the it factor. He does. Very good in the ring. And has a great presence. I see big things for him. I like his entrance, kind of rising up like he's, you know, coming up from a coffin. I like it. His music's badass. As I mentioned, like Bray Wyatt's music, it does have the badass kind of rock punk feel. Enjoy it. And I think that Aleister Black is ready for the next level, whatever that may be. Maybe start to put him in a mid-tier title picture. Not win it necessarily, but take baby steps with Black here. Or put him in a program with somebody of a higher stature up on the totem pole. I don't need him feuding with Seth Rollins, but maybe somewhere in the middle there, right? I mean, I don't know wherever that middle guy is, but that's where he needs to be. Put him in a mid-tier title picture. Maybe not win, but not take the loss. And there's ways to get around it. So, I'm ready for Aleister Black to move on to the next level instead of just being in these every once in a while squash matches, for bad lack of a better term. But I'm enjoying Aleister Black. I just want him to move on and move up. Alrighty. We have Rey Mysterio backstage. He's in a sling. And Charlie Caruso is asking him, you know, about Dominic. He says he took a beating like a man. What exactly does that mean? What exactly does take a beating like a man mean? So if you don't take a beating like a man, what does that look like? And maybe I was just taking his words literally, but it said a lot. And so I'm assuming this is the best that my brain can gather, is that not taking a beating like a man would mean in the middle of getting beat up, you cower and you start sobbing. I mean, taking it like a, you know what word I'm thinking of. Is that what it means? I don't know. If you take it like a man, you just keep taking the beating and you don't cry. I don't know. What does this mean? What does this mean? Maybe I'm looking way too into this, but he was proud of his son for taking his beating like a man. Okay. Somebody explain it. Maybe I'm missing the point. Nonetheless, he gets to the point of Cain Velasquez, who is his godfather. And that's why he has been brought to WWE. And, he says that Kane is going to avenge their family. Okay, fine. And there's lots of reports circulating around the internet today that Vince is not happy with Cain Velasquez's look. No, really? I mean, I could have told you that. I told you guys that on the SmackDown review show last week. I was put off by it. If I was put off by it, and Vince McMahon has this enamorment and fantasy of everybody being ripped, you can bet he was going, huh? this guy beat Brock? If you didn't know who he was, you would think that based on just his body type, it was just a fan in the audience who took off their shirt and wanted to fight Brock. Really. Cain Velasquez is a certified, legitimate badass. At the same time, you look at him and WWE is a lot about your aesthetics. It's a presentation. It's not just results, which is what UFC is all about, is results. It doesn't care necessarily how you look. It's can you actually fight, where there's more steak than sizzle, as Jim Ross would say. In this case, there has to be a lot of sizzle and a lot of steak at the same time. Can you deliver inside the ring? But there's zero sizzle for Cain Velasquez other than his face and his eyes. He's got a great look in his facials just by his, the way he was born. and that's good. But at the same time, yeah, I was put off by it too. So I'm sure Vince McMahon was just shaking his head going, I don't get it. I don't get how Brock lost to this guy. I'm sure. But so that's the latest Vince McMahon backstage stuff. Moving on here, Becky Lynch and Charlotte versus the Kabuki Warriors. And this was, again, it's kind of standard match. That's the theme here. Everything's kind of standard status quo. Not a whole lot to write home about, at least yet here in my review. But the Kabuki Warriors end up winning after Asuka spits green mist on Becky's face. Really more of her arm. She kind of missed the target. But we'll move on. And it leads to the finish and the three count on Becky. Again, I'm liking how they're incorporating something that hasn't been done in a while. The last person I saw, I mentioned this last night, was Tajiri in WWE using Green Mist, and people loved it. If you're thinking about the actual realistic side of this, if you're going to break it down, unless this Green Mist is truly like pepper spray, of which you would not even be able to keep it in your mouth. So apparently it affects your eyes, but it doesn't affect your saliva glands in your mouth and potentially swallowing it. But even if it is, so I'm going to go along with it is some kind of painful substance. Okay. Even though it doesn't hurt the person in the mouth that's holding it in their mouth, it hurts the person that they're spraying it at. Fine. I'll go along with this. How does this affect you kicking out? Does it paralyze your body? Wouldn't you on instinct alone, if you're in that kind of peril, the human body just, out of instinct, wants to get off their back and defend themselves. So you would actually be more inclined to actually get off of your back and get off of your shoulders. So, hey, maybe I'm just looking too much into this and you're probably going, yeah, Matt, enough. My God, you're breaking down the mist. Yeah, you know what? I am. You know why? Because I've been watching wrestling for a hell of a long time. And maybe some of you have been watching longer. But I guess I look at it with a critical eye, partly because I do this podcast, but partly because I look at it in a way that goes, can I buy this? Am I buying what they're selling? Are they bringing me into the story? Are they making this believable, or at least trying to make this believable? I want to invest myself, but I can't invest myself if I don't feel emotionally attached and they're not trying to tell a story that I can get into. So that's why I do what I do. So some of you probably don't like that. It's the way that this scary brain works up here. So the Kabuki Warriors win, and I'm fine with it. I like that they have a defined role now. The Kabuki Warriors were floating out there as kind of default baby faces because, well, it's Asuka and it's Kairi Sane. Why do we dislike them? They were with Paige. We like Paige. So by default, we liked them. Now we have a clear direction from Hell in a Cell. That's a good thing. After the match, Charlotte runs in and attacks, but the Kabuki Warriors overpower her and beat her down. And Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss interrupt and start brawling with the Warriors, and they drop the Warriors and then celebrate. So that was good to see that Nikki Cross and Alexa came back to avenge what happened the night before. That's fine. I liked it. Good stuff. Keeps Alexa and Nikki in the fans' eyes and not just gone by the wayside, which they kind of have over the last few weeks. I mean, let's be totally honest there, too. All right, and then, again, WWE is just going crazy over Tyson Fury over the entire show. That's been the running theme and thread throughout the whole show. Now, we had Apollo Crews versus Ricochet. Ricochet won. I hate to repeat myself. Maintenance, status quo, steer the course, spin your wheels. I have nothing else to say. I mean, it was what it was. you know, we got the 450 splash. Cruz dodged it and hit a standing moonsault, and then Cruz looks for a suplex and Ricochet fights out and hits the recoil for the three count. I like that. I like how the recoil is being used as a finish, because the 450 is a super dangerous move. I don't care how athletic you are. The margin for error is about as wide as the hair on my head, okay? And I don't have a whole lot of hair on my head. I'll just tell you that, all right? All right. Then we got a video package at last night's match between Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt. That's it. That's it from WWE. A quick mention and quick recap of the match. And notably, with the audio from the crowd reaction taken out. But what did you expect, right? I mean, that would have been absolutely insanity if WWE decided to leave those the crowd reaction to it. And smart by WWE, smart as hell, and maybe this was by design before the reaction even happened from the audience, the rejection of the match. But so maybe it was by design and preordained that Seth Rollins and The Fiend were not going to be on Raw. So if it was, then, you know, hey, you weren't going to put them on anyway. But if not, and this was an audible that was called, good job. A standing ovation for smarts and understanding that, hey, if in any way that this match is shown or Seth comes out or Bray Wyatt comes out, we are risking them getting rejected a second night in a row, which could then become a trend. I think that they are trying to distance themselves from it. They're acknowledging that it existed and that this match happened by a video recap, but it's like they're doing the bare-ass minimum to acknowledge it happened and not just go, oh crap, this match didn't happen, let's not even mention anything. So I give them credit for at least a video package and smartly not bringing out anybody that was associated with that match in person. Great idea. Smart move. Again, if this was an audible called and not just built into the schedule by chance. Given there's a draft next week, there's also the chance of that it was just kind of, oh, let's get through the match. We're going to do our finish here, and then the draft is the following week, so there's no need to have them come back out and challenge again, right, or talk about it. But I'm tending to think an audible was called. I really am. So smart, WWE, smart. Smart Vince McMahon on Monday night. Although part of me wishes I could have seen how the crowd would have reacted. I don't think positively, even to Seth Rollins. I think he's guilty by association. Then we get our main event here, which was Braun Strowman going face-to-face with Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury was demanding an apology from Braun Strowman. Now, what I would like to say about all this, before we can give it to Tyson Fury, WWE has a history. Anytime that they bring in celebrities, 99.9% of the time, outside of only a couple I can think of, with it was Kevin Federline and who is that? Mark Cuban, who took bumps and were left laying. Everybody else that has come into WWE as a celebrity in any from another sport, TV, what have you, are always made to look strong. I don't know why that they have this philosophy. Because it makes the people that are here, the men and women here that are one-upped by the celebrities or invaders from another sport, look like fools. It devalues not just the individual in which you are competing and having a program with this celebrity, but it also devalues the product to say, hey, yeah, the outside world is actually a little smarter than the inside of this this company, this little bubble we're in. They can all outsmart us, and they're better at what we do than what we do every single day of our lives. It's always just been ass backwards to me. I never enjoyed that. So Tyson Fury comes in, and we don't get an apology, but did you really expect that? And eventually shoving ensues, and they start going at it. They get pulled apart. A mob of security guards immediately hits the ring. And Braun exits the ring, tries to go after Tyson. Tyson starts knocking out every security guard near him, a.k.a. the local wrestlers. And Braun starts also laying out security guards near him. Tyson and Strowman go at it again in the ring. And then the wrestlers that had nothing to do the entire night decide, hey, I care about Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury going at it. Let's make sure that they aren't going to kill each other. I never understood why the wrestlers come out. I never understood. This happens more often than not, that you have wrestlers who are like, well, I'm not in a program. Let's all shuttle out at once. Let's all just kind of file out, and, you know, because I care. What do I care? If I'm sitting there backstage, I should be worried about my own career. Not worried about what Braun Strowman's doing with a boxing champion. So, I mean, again, it was back and forth. They get separated. They're not. They're separated. They're not. I guess this brawl went on for some time. And he says Tyson is a tough SOB, but he's going to get these hands soon. I can deal without the overkill of that get these hands phrase, but whatever. Braun says he doesn't anticipate or doesn't appreciate Tyson coming into his house and disrespecting him. And then they start brawling again, and Raw goes off the air. So it was interesting, but I have a feeling that Braun Strowman is going to come out on the short end of the stick here, as the WWE rule of the land is to make sure that anybody that's coming into WWE makes, you know, they come out smelling like roses. 99% of the time, again, the only two I could think of, Kevin Federline and Mark Cuban. That's it. So it's going to be interesting to see, I guess, where this ends, probably at Crown Jewel, and we can get past this match. Braun Strowman needs a program with a real person. I mean, Braun Strowman's been involved with all these gimmicky programs over the last year with Saturday Night Live. And then before that, he was has a child as his tag team partner and wins the tag team championships. Now he's involved with Tyson Fury. I mean, I don't know. Do they not know what to do with Braun Strowman? Or maybe they think that Braun Strowman is the guy that's going to be the most visually appealing for these celebrities to go against for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know. Again, I'm not down on this. I can just see the end game before it even gets going anytime WWE brings a celebrity in. It's the golden rule. Let's let the outsiders shine while all the people that are in here day in and day out look like fools. Always. So I'm going to give it time. I'm going to let it breathe. I'm not going to crap on it yet. I'm just hesitantly cautious of WWE's history with celebrities being brought in. So, alrighty. Well, guys, that's the show for today. I hope you enjoyed. Again, hit me up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Two more shows coming at you this week, or three. I haven't decided if I'm doing the SmackDown review on Saturday or Sunday yet. Again, I'm moving Friday and Saturday, so I might move it to Sunday this week. But I think as the overall schedule progresses, my Friday night SmackDown review will be on Saturday. But again, for this week, it'll probably be Sunday because I'm just crazy busy. But so that'll probably be my schedule as I move forward. But two more shows are coming to you for sure this week in AEW and the NXT podcast. So, and it's not me. So you're tired of my voice, or my voice puts you to sleep, or maybe my voice is just scratching nails on a chalkboard to you. whatever it may be, well, guess what? You get a reprieve of my voice on Thursday for two shows to be released to you, which I'm really excited about, and I think you guys will enjoy. So take a look out for them, and as always, guys, I'll talk to you next time.